Hello everybody, Marcus here. 2 weeks ago we announced that we were having a few weeks off at Christmas and New Year. And last week we popped up again with a bonus Christmas episode, and here we are again this week. However, this week is a little different. This week we wanted to give you all a little New Year treat, and so we thought we'd re-release one of our personal favourite episodes from August 2019, all the way back then, pre-pandemic. Ah, yesterday. Plus, we thought a podcast about winning the lottery might provide some much-needed escapism, as the news doesn't look like it's going to change too much too soon, sadly. One final word, welcome to our new subscribers. Lovely to have you on board. We will, of course, be back in a few weeks with some brand new episodes of Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do follow us on social media at AQQAPod on Twitter and Instagram for all the updates. Anyway, without further ado, have a happy new year and enjoy this week's podcast. Hello everybody, welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. Chris and Sarah are here, good to have you with us people.
Always good to be here.
So good to be here.
There they are. Now then, everybody loves to win a prize, whether it's big or small. Everyone dreams of the good life where money is no object and where you can do as you damn well want. Perhaps this is reflected in the fact that in over 100 countries around the globe, there are government-operated lotteries handing out huge sums of cash to lucky winners every week. These lottery wins inevitably change lives forever. Not always for the best, though. So then, is a lottery win a blessing or a curse? And when I say a lottery win, I mean big. We're not talking 20 grand or something.
Millions.
We're talking about the big prize, the jackpot.
I've often dreamt of this.
Have
I've
you?
Often wasted a good 15, 20 minutes daydreaming about what would happen from the moment I won, who I would tell, going on holiday. Because I need a nice long holiday to decide what I'd want to do with this money.
To really think about it.
Yeah. Who would I take on this holiday? Yeah. And, you know, actually...
Presumably Sarah and I.
I was about to say, yeah.
Of course. I'd have to, you know, make room for you guys because we could do a show on it.
There we go.
Yes.
And... yeah, I've dreamt about this many, many times.
Really?
Yeah, like a lot. I don't know why. I think I'm actually quite optimistic.
Do you play? I was going to say, do you play?
No, never play.
You've got to be in it to win it.
I know. I like the dream. I really like the dream. I like the thought. I remember one particular daydream about this. I dreamt about it so thoroughly. By the end of it, I didn't want to win. And I actually was like, I don't want to win.
Oh, had
anymore.
You seen your life fall apart?
Yeah.
I just thought I
had to really think about things. I was like, I quite like a startup. I like things at the start and, you know, achieving and stuff. So actually, it just make it life a bit too easy.
That's funny, that, isn't it? How you've dreamt quite a lot. I mean, I do know what you mean. That I've had the odd little thought now and then of, oh, well, that'd be quite nice. If I won the lottery, I wouldn't have to put up with that person or that boss or whatever.
You wouldn't have to put up with us?
Well, I would.
Oh, yeah.
That's the difference. I still would, because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yes, exactly.
So, Sarah, you were looking at Chris a bit funny there. Presumably, you haven't daydreamed about winning the lottery much.
No, I mean, I guess, you know, you've done it as a little bit of a thought experiment. But I think for me, I'm just like, well, I've never bought a ticket. So, I don't know. Like, obviously, you know, thinking about it now, I guess, yeah, it'd be pretty cool.
I'd love to buy an island. Like, I grew up in Devon.
Island of Great Britain.
Well, probably afford it
could
soon.
Do with some different leadership at the moment.
A cash injection. I grew up in Plymouth, and there's a small island called Drake's Island just off of it.
Now, is Plymouth in Cornwall or Devon?
Devon, right, South Devon. And I remember me and my friends often dreaming, oh, we could buy this, turn it into our own little nation, and enter ourselves into World Cup qualification.
You see, it all comes back to this typical male football-y dream.
Yeah,
I love it.
Do the Eurovision as well.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So the potential is incredible. And then I get daydreaming about things like, you know, the zombie apocalypse. I'd have my own island, so I'd be safe. I would have done all my produce.
This is ridiculous.
This is why I said I can waste a lot of time about these things. So yeah, I've thought thoroughly through all these things.
Okay,
because zombies can't swim, so you'd be safe on your own little island.
Now, it may have been mentioned before on these podcasts, but you were a, let me get this right, spokesperson or worked in PR for the UN.
Yeah, head of comms.
Head of comms
in the UK, not globally.
Right. Still though.
Yeah,
I'm suitably impressed. as I'm sure people are listening to this. You're now a trainee vicar.
Yes.
Would you still want to win the lottery now? And the reason why I ask... Okay,
100%
yes. There was not a moment also, hesitation.
My money has plummeted.
Yeah, okay, no, but I suppose the reason for me is that if you have a life-changing sum of money,
yeah,
then a lot of people quit their jobs. We will come on to some testimonies from people who have won the lottery, which I found in the press. These are not personal friends of mine, because otherwise I wouldn't be here. I'd be, trying to scrounge off them. So what I do, Football Ramble podcast, people know, one or two people might know, broadcaster, blah, 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 because it's not a protected term, as I've said. I would still do that because I love doing it. And that's kind of what I sort of almost feel like.
So you're asking, will I still be a trainee vicar if I won the lottery?
And because the difficulty, see, if I was still working in a 9-to-5 office job, which I did for many, many years, that's what I mean. Like the daydreaming I get there for people who are in a job they don't particularly care for, and they go, oh, I'd love it because I'd walk in and I'd chuck my letter of resignation in my boss's face and I'd be out of there.
Yeah.
Whereas now I wouldn't do that because I like what I do. In fact, I bloody love it, to be quite frank, and I'm quite fortunate to be in that position. I totally get it. So for you as a trainee vicar, would you not think that a lottery win would be a massive potential distraction?
It would be the Lord's provision, Mark.
There we go. You'd suddenly go into the prosperity gospel.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
If you love the Lord enough, he will bring in the millions.
I think what I've come to...
You've got America, they love a bit of that. Oh, in some parts of it, actually, some that's harsh. A lot of Americans don't like that.
I've come to the conclusion I would be happy with $1 million and
would
no
you?
More.
Okay.
And the reason
He's
for that...
He's not asking for much, no. is he?
The reason I want for that, is $1 million.
But if you're talking, in Europe, we have the Euro Millions, and often that can go over $100 million.
That's ridiculous.
I would, even if I had all that, I would keep... The reason I have $1 million is I want to buy a house and a car, and I don't have kids, but if I am blessed enough to have kids one day, I'd like to have money so that they could get married and not, but I would want them to work. I wouldn't want them to have an easy life as such. I want them to, really...
Suffer.
Yes, like I did.
Have you been to Plymouth?
Exactly.
Yeah, life on the island is pretty tough.
Yeah. So I would have that, but everything else I would set up my own... is it like a trust fund where people could apply to this for money for good causes?
Yeah.
So I would still do the lottery now, but mainly not for myself, although I would definitely benefit from this £1 million I've kept for myself.
Yeah.
But I would like to think, which cause in the world do I really want to affect? And then I've worked enough within this humanitarian charity sector to go like, actually, a lot of people are... They need money to do what they have a passion to do. Mm. And I'd love to facilitate that. I'd love to be like... Great, send in your applications. I'd love to support that and invest in what they're doing to help make a difference in the world.
That sounds like too much admin for me.
I feel like you.
I admire what you do.
No,
really...
I like that sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm not. True. I don't mind an admin. Yeah, I love an Excel sheet.
He does. He loves admin.
He does. See, for me, I get what you're saying about you'd like $1 million. You see, I would rather win something like $200,000 on. Do they still do the pools where you predict the football results and all that? I should really know that.
Yes.
I'd rather win through whatever avenue, say something like £200,000 or $250,000, than $20 million. And the reason for that is, and it's sort of really what you're saying, Chris, $250,000, you can get a mortgage or pay off a mortgage. You can help out a little bit, but it's not that life changing.
Mm.
It's life helping, if you see what I mean. So
makes things a bit easier.
It makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, I don't want my life to change. I just
That's what I'm saying. Some people, I get it. Some people are a bit like, I'm from a place I don't particularly like. I've got, how many thousands of bills to pay. I can't make ends meet. Bloody bloody blah. I totally get that. So absolutely. But I'm just saying, for me. If you had, say, a couple of $100,000, in terms of where you live, that comes in really handy. Mm. It doesn't suddenly make me think, oh, should I keep bothering doing what I'm doing for a job? No, you've still got to do that because that money doesn't set you up for life or anything. But you can afford
it. You just get bored so quickly if you didn't do what you love.
You've got to have a purpose. You've got to have a reason for...
And money in itself is not a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a means to achieve your purpose.
But I think we
can get obsessed with it.
Yeah, totally. I think getting over sort of 10 million or some vast amount of life-changing money also... If your brother or sister or your good mate is struggling, there you are, there's $50,000.
Exactly.
Would they, did I give him too much? Did I give him too little? Oh, I forgive them $50,000. And then also, people would know. If you win 10 million quid, people are going to know. You can't hide that.
Well, this is the thing that I've been thinking about, right?
Yeah.
So, firstly, I do not understand people who decide they want to go public. So, in the UK, you can,
that would,
I think,
scare me.
You can decide.
Is there not an obligation?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, I think you can decide. And obviously, you know, plenty of people don't. But then you get the ones, you know, there's the pictures of them spraying the champagne everywhere.
I do respect
with the
that
giant,
on some level.
Giant check.
Yeah. Get a load of this, come on.
But I personally, I cannot fathom that. Like, if I won, I would want to keep it on the DL. But if you suddenly win £100 million, people are probably going to notice that I've moved out of my tiny moldy flat and that I'm not wearing just like really old clothes, and do you know what I mean, like they're gonna notice
where are you moving? I'm moving to, you know, Millionaire's Row. Well, hang on. Have you got a promotion at work? No. Like, do you know what I mean? People will know.
She's been saving quite a lot, guys.
Yeah. Whereas if you get like a nice new car or something, people go, oh, how'd you fall down? Oh, well, you know,
just came into a little bit of, you know,
Exactly. Exactly. I think it's too life-changing. Interesting. There's a woman from Newcastle, the northeast of England, called Elaine. And she said that when she won, I can't remember how much she won. It was millions, though. For the first few days, she went through all sorts of weird emotions. And now she volunteers to help lottery winners through the first few days, or the tricky few days,
so
that
she's like
calls
a lottery
them.
Because it changes
therapist.
Your life.
Well, yeah, she said they all have.
How much does she charge? They got their money.
She's a volunteer.
Oh, okay.
She's a volunteer.
Oh, fair enough.
And that would be cheeky, wouldn't it? You can all afford it. Yeah, she says they all ask the same question, which is, why haven't I had any sleep? Why do I feel sick? Why do I suddenly burst into tears and then I suddenly laugh?
Wow.
Isn't that mad?
It's almost like the...
It messes with your head.
Grief.
Yeah.
Not, obviously not, but you know, like...
Yeah.
I guess it's that idea, isn't it? Like you said, life is never going to be the same again.
Exactly. And if you win 10 million or something...
It could be like, normally, I hate to say this, but like, you know, in life, those big bang life-changing moments are often bad. It's a death or it's a terrible diagnosis or it's a redundancy. Life has changed in an instant. Suddenly, right, well, everything is going to be, well, everything could be okay now.
Well, imagine if you lived in a place where it was like quite an impoverished area, but you know your neighbours and you get on well, you're familiar with that area. And this is the story of some people. You win £10 million, you're not going to live there, probably. You're going to think, I'm going to move. And everything changed. And it's like...
Yeah, gosh. Your whole community's gone.
Exactly.
Everything you know.
Exactly. And to me, you've not earned that money. You've not inherited it. Inheritance makes sense, if you see what I mean.
It's another show.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Well, no, but inheritance, unless it's kind of come completely from left field. You may know it's coming.
Okay, yeah.
And perhaps if your parents or grandparents are quite well off, you've visited
their
house.
You have a sense of what that means.
Exactly.
And what it looks like.
It's not too, would displaced be the word? It's not too... incongruous or whatever. Whereas, as I say, it doesn't matter whether you're from a poor or not, but if somebody suddenly you have 20 million or whatever it is stuffed into your bank account, I don't think anything can prepare you. I mean, Elaine said, going back to her, she said it took me about 6 months for it to sink in. And she said, I remember when I went into Marks and Spencer's and I love their cotton jumpers. I stood there a month after a win and I'm thinking, what should I get? And then I thought to myself, oh, for goodness sake, Ellen, you've got 2 million in the bank. Just buy them all. Like, things change.
Yeah. Well, especially
it's weird. You know, nothing prepares you for that.
You're used to living life in a certain way. You know, most of us don't have unlimited funds. You know, we all have to budget and live within our means.
Yep.
And suddenly being like, well, I can do whatever I want.
Yep.
I don't have to, you know, should we go out for dinner this week? No, money's a bit tight. Mm. You're never going to feel that way again.
Totally.
It would just bring along lots of other problems, though, wouldn't it? Like, you know, who do I trust? Are they liking me and wanting to hang out with me because they want something from me? And, you know, if I give them a gift, are they going to think I'm stingy because, you know, I haven't given them a big enough gift and they know what I'm like and or where my money's from? It wouldn't be nice. I wouldn't want to tell a few very close people, but mostly I wouldn't want to tell a soul.
Well, it's interesting. So recently I read a story about a woman. I think she was maybe the UK's youngest lottery winner, I think.
Did she win it when she was in her late teens?
She was 16.
Oh, gosh.
I think I might remember this.
She was in the news quite recently because basically she was saying under 18 should not be allowed to play the lottery. It ruined my life. She literally described it as a curse.
There you go.
Ooh.
She absolutely... blew the money on all sorts of things.
Yeah.
She got a boob job, living all kinds of, you know, crazy life. And apparently she had real problems with sort of, she said, fake friends.
Yeah. Of course.
And people trying to scam her. Mm-hmm. Oh. People, she got beaten up in the street, apparently. Just, she said, yeah, you didn't know who you could trust.
That's horrendous.
Well, it's mad. Awful. I mean, but think about it. Think of someone who's one of your best friends. They win £15 million. Would, surely your mind would think, count me up with a mortgage or...
Yeah, you would.
You'd hope about it. Because if you're saying to them, if you're having a conversation with your best friend or one of your very good friends and you're like... Ah, oh, yeah, we're just struggling to make ends meet at the moment. And you say that, you might even think, oh, it does. Do they think I'm scrounging?
Ooh, I'm or, not fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually changes everything.
Well, for some of us, like for me, I would always avoid conversations about money in case they thought I was right. doing that. So actually that creates this separation between you and your friends because yeah. you can't be fully you and yeah. you can't share your life with them. It would be super tricky.
Well, it's like when you hear famous people say it's quite lonely, and then famous people, like seriously famous people, you have to hang out in famous bars or whatever, or because people are used to seeing mm-hmm. famous people, so they don't get too flustered. So you can have a drink without people coming up to you, blah, blah, blah. So they feel cut off from normal society. But at least with that, if you're a famous actor or a musician or whatever it may be, there's been a journey and there's a cause and effect. You're particularly good in your field. You're a Hollywood A-lister. You go on the talk shows, you do all the promotion. Do you see what I mean? Cause and effect. It makes sense that that comes with the territory. Even though you may still feel lonely and you may feel that you can't just walk down the street and your anonymity is gone, with winning huge amounts of cash like that, there's almost a sense of this, but there's no cause and effect. There's no reason for you to have that money. You just picked
it's
a load of numbers.
Appeared.
And then do you move into the posh neighborhood? Because you can afford to have, because your neighbours know you've won the lottery. And so you can't, you know, these dynamics change. You then move into the posh neighbourhood and they're thinking, well, you're not really one of us. You know, all sorts of things.
So I guess the dream is...
It's an absolute minefield.
Well, the dream is that if I have this thing, it will make me happier. But actually, that happiness is it's an inside job, isn't it? It's not because of our external... Mm-hmm. Whatever satisfaction or whatever.
Yeah.
I think there was a guy called Michael Ramsden who said, you're not made happy by what you acquire, but by what you appreciate.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you think about what's the kind of your happy moments in life, probably not connected to money. It's like, so for me, I had a job once, which was incredibly stressful. And one of my best moments is just saying to my wife, I need to get outside in the countryside. And we went camping. It was just me and her, and it was in a field. There was nothing around. It's one of my favorite ever weekends. We had a tiny tent. There was like, it was meant to be a two-man,
that
but it felt
like
one.
Literal hell to me.
And, and it was just a fire. And all I think I tried to make a spit for the fire. It took like 4 hours to cook a chicken. But it was like, I just... appreciated in a way having nothing, being very basic and just not having all the stress that goes around there.
It's fascinating.
It's one of my
isn't it?
Favorite weekends ever.
Yeah.
And I had nothing, really.
Yeah. You're easily pleased.
I am a simple man.
but yet you still dream away for that million quid.
Well, because I could buy the woodland blade then. No one else could interrupt me.
You could take us all with you.
Yes.
And buy us big tents.
We'll go
and
glamping.
Yes.
I think that's it. You'd have someone put up your tent for you. I think that's the thing. lottery wins, of course, can end very badly. They can break up families, marriages. They can make people lose sight of what's important, essentially. Mm. There's a famous example from the 80s in Quebec in Canada, or infamous example, should I say, when a family won over $7 million. And it essentially ended with the family tearing itself apart and other family members suing each other and all this kind of stuff. Absolute madness. And that idea of like dreaming of lottery wins, like how people want it, when you get that carrot dangled in front of you. Only last year, a poor bloke in China thought he'd won nearly 800,000 million. Sorry, that would have been ridiculous. No lottery's worth $800,000. And he got his numbers slightly mixed up. And he celebrated treating his friends and family to a night out, which cost him all his savings.
Oh,
and he maxed out his credit card. And I don't know what the latest is, but he's on the road to recovery. But he said, I felt that I'd lost all face and my hope to continue living was gone, because he was feeling suicidal. But I think it just about came around. But there are a lot of tragic stories, by the way. And I don't think it's really worth going into the details, because there are some very, very sad and very unfortunate ones. But I will just quickly touch on this one. A man in Thailand won nearly $1 million. He invited his friends over to celebrate that night, and when he woke up, he couldn't find his ticket. he couldn't find his ticket anywhere, and it just disappeared, and he couldn't claim, and he went into a depression. He ended up shooting himself.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's horrendous.
That's how people, when you dangle that kind of this can change your life. Now I don't know that these people's backgrounds or where they were living and all, but it's remarkable.
But money has this horrible ability to do that, to pull people apart and to completely change like how we interact with each other.
Mm.
And I think that's where, the famous scripture goes, the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't mean money is.
Mm. Yeah.
It's actually our attitude towards it.
Right.
I'd like to have money, but I don't want money to have me. I don't want to be the servant of money.
Yeah. Now, when I first started doing a bit of research for this question, I thought to myself, it is more of a curse. And I still largely think that. However, there are some lovely stories from lottery winners.
You can join my football team.
Yeah. There we go.
You can join too, Sarah.
Yeah,
thanks.
There you go.
there you are, inclusive. And I read a lot of the kind of success stories of lottery winners. And actually, I did... It sounds utterly ridiculous what I'm about to say, but I did slightly warm to the idea of winning the lottery.
Go on. Why?
Well, this is big revelation.
Yeah, exactly. I would like to win a few million quid. How about that for a change of heart, everybody? There's a number of these stories, and I just sort of cherry-picked a few. But a chap called Mark won a jackpot of just under £1 million in the late 90s. He was a chemical tanker driver at the time of his win, and Cheryl, his wife, was the manager of a local bakery. And he said, "We used a majority of our winnings to set up our double glazing business, which employs 13 people. However, we also bought ourselves a great home and some lovely cars as well. Winning the lottery set us up for life and has given us options we never knew we could have."
Aww.
And I just thought, that's bloody lovely. Now, I know that's not millions.
Very level-headed.
And from that, 13 people have got jobs.
Yeah.
Sorry, how much did he win?
It was just shy of £1 million.
Right, so that's like what you were saying of like, sure. It's not... Too well, much, sorry, Chris.
No. That's the million I want.
You want the million. Yeah, that's the thing. Is it's not enough to make everything just completely change, but they would be able to set themselves up, employ people. Mm-hmm. Like, that's made me feel better.
Isn't that nice?
The negativity.
Retired engineer Brian, wife from Bolton in the north of England, won the Euro Millions.
That's a big money.
Right. And they bought homes for their two daughters. They paid off mortgages for the other family members. They support various charities and set up their own charity that helps people and good causes in Bolton, which lacks a bit of financial investment by all accounts. And he said, "The whole lottery experience has really brought our family closer together, which is amazing. Aww. Being able to give my family financial security and help people in our local community is such a fantastic feeling. I can't even put it into words."
I mean, both of them
actually... It can go well.
Both of those stories are people actually wanting to give out, aren't they? Exactly. Like, I want to employ people. I want to,
want the holidays.
Yeah, it's not a selfish desire.
Yeah.
Totally.
Exactly. Well, also, actually, around the time we were recording this, someone had just won. I think I don't know if it's a new lottery or something, but it's instead of getting one big lump sum, you get 10 grand a month for the next 30 years.
Now, that seems more sensible.
Yeah, because that's still absolutely tons of money.
Oh, absolutely.
But instead of just being like, here we go, have 300 million, it's a bit more measured.
If you waste 10 grand one night, which, don't get me wrong, I don't know how you do.
you have not been in a night out with me recently.
drinking Baileys from shoes and all that sort of stuff.
Losing your shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, then you rack up the 10 grand bill quite easily.
Well, then you just wait for the next month to come in.
It's true. But
payday.
It was really sweet. So he did say, I'm going to... So first he works for Amazon. Mm-hmm. He went in and he just said, I'm resigning. They said, right, fill this form in, please. Got to say... reason for resignation, and he was like, I didn't know what to put, so I just put retired/won the lottery. And they were like, that's not a real reason. He was like, bye.
Yeah.
But then he said,
can't leave. Yeah, I can.
I've got some things on my bucket list. So he wants to write a screenplay and all this kind of thing. Lovely. But then he also said, well, actually, my brother is autistic. He's got a lot of needs, and I'm going to make sure he's got the absolute best care possible. Now, he's only just won this money, so I hope that is what happened.
Sure.
But I just thought, that's the same thing, right? He said, I've got a few things I want to do for myself, and I'm not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow my dreams, but I'm also going to make sure that I'm giving back and that I'm really helping people with this money.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely a bit of an indulgence. They hear people sort of travelling around and buying the 5-bedroom house and all the rest of it. Well, absolutely. But when you hear people who still have an interest in life, mm-hmm. I think that's different. Exactly. If you basically go, right, there we go, move into my big house, shut my doors, and it's like, what do I do?
What now?
Yeah, you say, like, I don't know, you're just 40 years old, 50 years old or whatever, 30 years old or 16 or whatever. You've got to have an interest in life. Yeah. I get it, if you're retired, you can just, you know, put the kettle on and have a lovely old time. But even there, I mean, there are some wonderful stories, though. People who end up being, I don't know, like a director on the board of their favourite sports team or something. Now, providing they don't...
That would be the other thing I'd do is buy a football club.
Yeah,
without EuroMillions.
I think it's a mug's game, though.
Oh, yeah,
if I'm honest with you. But yeah, so some really great ones and people saying things that I've loved every minute of it since winning. And actually, not only does it open doors in terms of... Well, literal doors to big houses, you know, that you can afford or nice cars.
Big electric doors.
Yeah, but actually... I don't know, maybe you can travel the world, you can meet more interesting people. I know that's an option anyway, depending on, you know, but some people in you know, various situations and circumstances, it actually can help broaden people's horizons for, you know, whatever reason. And you think, well, fair play. Some people clearly have had a bloody lovely old time. Mm. There was a wonderful one from America, a guy called Neil Wanless in South Dakota, and from what I gather, reading these articles, South Dakota is quite an impoverished part of the States. There's not a lot of money kicking around there. And he's a cowboy on a ranch. And when he was 23 at the time, struggling to pay bills, the family was selling scrap metal to get by. They won $88 million.
Oh, wow.
88.
Wow.
So that goes into, obviously, that kind of goes into the local community in some ways. But they were like, this is brilliant. They've done up the ranch. They've got the local community. From all accounts, from what I could find on this, I mean, if it's gone terribly badly in the last couple of years, I don't know. I've not heard anything. But that's what I found. And it just seemed to almost be a great blessing to that family and the area as
yeah.
well.
It's something about maybe wanting to leave a legacy, actually.
Yes.
This is beyond me now. Mm. That would be the thing with the mega wealth, is there's something beyond me.
Yep.
And in a way, you see that with kind of these multi-billionaires like the Gates Foundation. They got so big, but actually now they're investing a lot of it in trying to eradicate things. Is it they're going after
trying
to
eradicate
AIDS.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you get this wealth where you're like, I don't... Hopefully, not everybody does this. You know, how much money is enough money?
Sure.
You know, was a bit more. Mm-hmm. But then some people, I think you just hit a limit and you're like, I need to leave my mark on history or the world. Mm. And it gives you the opportunity to do that a bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fun.
That just reminds me, I think it's the Gates family, but I may be wrong. I'll double check this after. But where they said that they're not actually going to leave the kids
I think you're
any money.
Right, yeah.
That it's, he was just saying, like they don't need, you know.
That has to be seen as a bit stingy, though.
Maybe.
Maybe he got the 100 billion that he yeah. had or something. It's probably...
Just give us 250 grand.
Yeah.
No, I get the point you're saying. Or what Mr. Gates and his wife are saying. Mr. and Mrs. Gates, you know. yeah, is it a blessing? Like so many things, it's how you deal with it, isn't it?
Mm. Exactly.
It's how well you're grounded. And if you're not grounded at all, then you can lose every penny. But then some people would argue what a hell of a ride it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've heard of a story before where someone said that they basically blasted the whole lot, but at the end of it, they were just like, well, I had a lovely old time doing it. So
it's like, better
but they were probably fine afterwards. They were just like, yeah, I know what this is about.
And but even then, though, there's an element of respect because you think, but if you are genuinely fine,
yeah,
that's it. How are you within your being?
You don't let it destroy you. Well, it's kind of like you were saying, is you are not money. You're not defined by money. Mm. It's not your master. You just went, yeah, I used it for some great stuff. No mm-hmm. regrets. There
exactly.
Yeah.
But I've still got the speedboat.
Exactly. To get to my island.
Oh, that's it. Your unpreserved island, because presumably yeah. you can't do the upkeep. There we are. We've reached the end of our time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Get your questions into us, show@aqqapod.com, or tweet us at aqqapod. We will look in future episodes to answer your questions, maybe even make a show or half a show or something out of them. We shall see what we can come up with, everybody. Where can they find us, Sarah?
They can find us anywhere they get their podcasts.
I've just said, where can they find us? They already obviously
they've
have.
They've literally found us. They've found us. But you know what they do need to do?
Yes.
They need to rate us. Mm. If they loved us, rate us, leave us a review. Mm-hmm. Apparently it helps other people find the podcast.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I
mean. If you don't love us, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Don't tell anyone.
I don't want to hear you.
Yeah, much like a 250 grand pools win. Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. It's better for everyone.
But if you've won especially big by listening to this podcast, again, go public, everybody. There we are. Chris, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus.
And thank you, listeners. We'll see you next week.